You're listening to the Barrel Racing Tips Podcast. If you're a beginner barrel racer, there's 15 things that you must know. So listen up. Before we get going, make sure you guys are subscribed if you guys are wanting barrel racing training help, tips, and let's get rolling. I'm your host, Brianna Avery. So let's get going on our very first tip. So being a beginner barrel racer comes with a lot of challenges. And if you guys have followed any of my social media platforms, whether that's Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook, any of that at Barrel Racing Training Help, you guys know that I specialize helping beginners and helping people who are needing help with their barrel horses and needing help getting them trained. And so I figured that it would be super good if I was going to put together a top 15 list for beginners, because it just is like a hard place to be, I feel like. So let's get going with the very first tip. So my very first tip is, don't compare yourself to those who've been doing this their whole entire life. Everyone has to start somewhere. It's really easy to pull up to the rodeo grounds or pull up to a barrel race and look at everyone around you and be like, holy crap, man, they've been doing this a hot minute. Like, I'm not sure there's a way I'm gonna win, because that is the worst mindset you can go in doing that. You're here to do well for yourself. You're not here to beat people in this race. You do this to beat yourself. And so it's really important that when you pull up, that you're not comparing yourself, because those people who have done this their whole entire life, it's going to take you a couple years to get to the point where you can start winning against them. And it's not impossible. You totally can do it. But when you're first starting, it's so important not to compare yourself, because if you start comparing yourself, you're just going to lose this joy in starting your barrel racing journey. I know I've helped a ton of people, and unfortunately, there's been times where they have to come back to me and be like, you know what, I tried to go to a barrel race, but I pull up and, you know, all these people have won. And you watch the people come out of the alleyway and they win the race, and you're like, man, I was just happy to make it around the barrel pattern. Like, and that's completely fine. You have to make sure that you're making goals for yourself. So make sure you're not comparing yourself to someone who's been doing this their whole entire life, because it's not fair to yourself. So my tip number two is, find a mentor. So kind of here's an example about what the requirements are, at least for me, and at least for me when I'm telling people. So first one is, they really need to be positive. They need to be an excellent horseman. They really need to be knowing what they're doing in barrel racing. They have to be a really good barrel racing trainer. You want someone who's really been there, done that. They're supportive, they're encouraging, no matter what. And you have to make sure that person has really accomplished a lot. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to have won every single barrel race that they've went to, because that's really not possible. But you need to make sure that they at least really know how to train, and they do have some wins under their belt. They really just know what they're doing. So that's kind of a little bit of the requirements for someone who is going to be a mentor to you. And lucky for you guys, if you follow me on my other social media platforms, like I said, on any of them, basically at Barrel Racing Training Help, I'm able to do that mentor for you guys, which my whole like goal of this platform is really to be able to be your guys' mentor and help you guys along. So my third tip, which I was watching it's a breakaway roping kind of session with Tyson Durfee and Jackie Crawford, who just won the world in breakaway this year, which was amazing. So anyways, they were talking and the question came up, if you were to go back to, you know, being a beginner breakaway roper, which this is also transfers over to barrel racing, but they said, what is your biggest tip that you'd give someone? And she said, enjoy the process. And so I was like, man, I have to go back and change and add this to this, because I think this is so important, but I forget, I guess, to kind of stress this to people. So I love that she just said, enjoy the process. As a beginner, even as someone who's like making it to the top but is not there yet, it's so important to enjoy the process, because the process of learning how to ride, how to train, how to compete, how to travel around is the most fun part. Like, it really is. Like, it's so fun. Like, I have so many fond memories of traveling around with my dad, going to rodeos, and like, oh, it's just so fun. Like, who cares if you don't do well? Like, it's so fun. And when you do well, it's even funner. But that's not even a word. It's even more fun. But so that's been really cool. And then, you know, like I said, those wins when you do win mean so much more to you, because you've kind of trust the process and went along with that. Okay, so tip number four is, a really nice fancy rig is not required to win. Like, just get that in your head now, because there's always going to be someone who pulls up to the rodeo ground in a nice big old bloomer trailer, and you're like, wow, I just got lucky to even borrow a trailer to come here. Like, I have been there before. So, you know, those rigs are not required to win, you know? It's not required. It's really you being able to work hard and having that knowledge of how to ride that gets you to win. You know, those things are really nice, but if you don't have them, it literally means nothing. It's completely fine. So, tip number 5 is horsepower. Now, it's a little bit weird of a tip, but if you're a beginner barrister, you're kind of first learning how to ride, or you're first learning how to run barrels, it's really important to get a horse that knows what they're doing. And let me explain why. I know a lot of people are like, okay, well, I'm learning how to ride, I'm learning how to brace, but I'm gonna also buy a really young horse and teach it how to do it too while I'm learning. And that is okay, but just know it's gonna take you a few extra years to get it all down. So my biggest advice for that is, if you're gonna learn how to run barrels, the biggest thing to do to kind of jumpstart your success is buying a horse that knows what they're doing. Now, this horse does not need to be a 50 grand, you know, nice horse who knows exactly what they're doing and you just have to sit there and hold on tight. Like, just buy a horse who knows the pattern and you can learn with them. Or not learn with them, learn from them. So it's really, really important to do that. You know, green rider on a green horse is really just setting yourself up for a disaster. I tell people, you know, until you've been riding for quite a while and you know how to train, then get a green horse and kind of have fun with that and teach them to run barrels that way. But honestly, like, just wait. Just make sure you have a really good horse when you're learning how to ride. So tip number 6 is knowledge. Soak up any knowledge from people who are successful that you can. Remember, success leaves traces. Tip number 7 is saddle time. Nothing replaces this. Nothing. I know there's a lot of people who out there who think, oh, well, I'll just do this, and I think it's definitely going to replace the time that I need in the saddle, but it's not. So remember, you have to spend hours a day to really become a great barrel racer. Hours in the saddle. Yes, I said hours. It is so important. And that being said, make sure it's not the same horse. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'll just go ride the same horse for a couple hours. No, don't ride that horse for longer than an hour. Get on them, work them out, and get on a different horse. Tip number 8 is supplements. Now, I want everyone to listen up because this is so important. And if you're going to ask me for help, this is exactly what I'm going to tell you. So just listen now. So, supplements. Your horse does not need supplements. Okay? Your horse doesn't need supplements. I know a lot of times people get on the supplement train and they're like, oh, well, everyone's feeding it, I'm going to feed it too. And there is a slight problem with that. Not every horse needs supplements, okay? Most horses, you can feed them a grass alfalfa mix, you can throw them some mineral licks, selenium licks, salt lick, and they're completely fine. I hardly ever supplement my horses unless there's a problem where I'm like, okay, we're having respiratory issues, which a lot of my horses get seasonal allergies, and so I'll feed supplements with that. But you do not need to give your horse supplements unless they absolutely need it, okay? Just get that in your head, unless they absolutely need it. Now, a really cool company to order from is Smart Pack. They do not have any additives. Not very many people know about them, but they're huge in the equestrian world. I don't know why they're not any bigger in the barrel racing and western world, but they have a lot of research behind all their supplements. They have supplement reviews from hundreds of people. Like, they work. I swear by them. So if you guys need a supplement, I would honestly talk to them because they know what they're doing. They will give you a supplement that's actually going to work. And so remember, your horse does not need supplements unless they actually need them. Don't just jump on the supplement train and be like, well, everyone feeds their horses supplements. I get so many questions a day of people saying, well, I'm looking for some supplements for my horse, or I'm looking to grain my horse. I don't grain my horses either. And I'll be like, okay, like, what are they needing? And they'll just be like, oh, they keep weight on great. Like, I'm just needing a supplement. I'm like, no, you don't need a supplement. So just remember that it's super important. Set yourself up for success. Set your horse up for success. Don't be pumping crap into their body if they don't actually need it. Tip number 9 is horse drills. Now, this is something that beginners and even people who have been doing this a little bit of time don't quite understand. Your horse does not need to run the pattern 1.5 million times. As a beginner, it's really easy to be like, okay, well, I need help riding and I need to make sure I put my hands down low right here, or I need to make sure I look right here. And it's just really important that you work on that by yourself and not in the saddle all the time. It's okay to work on it in the saddle when you're running your horse, but make sure that you're not running your horse through the bridle pattern a million times a day. Horses do not need that. They're going to get sick of it, especially if they are a horse that already knows what they're doing. So that being said, tip number 10 is visualize. Now, people ask me all the time, like, I don't want to get on my horse and run him a million times. And I'm like, thank you. Kudos to you. Let me tell you what you can do. So visualizing is a really, really cool tip that you're able to do, because basically all you do is you really just have to sit somewhere. You can sit in a saddle, not on your horse or on your horse, and just kind of like hold some reins in your hand and close your eyes. And basically you're just going to visualize yourself making a beautiful run. And say I'm like, okay, well, I really need to work on making sure I look, or I want to make sure that my hands are low. So I'm going to visualize that, and I'd visualize it 50 times of me making a beautiful run doing those things. So, and the trick is with that is once you do it, it really gets repetition down in your head. So when you get on your horse and you go, you remember how to do it. And I'll kind of share a really cool story really quick with you guys with that. So when I was injured, I could not ride like 24/7. Like, it was just too hard on my body. Like, I was just kind of beating myself doing that up. So my sister would kind of work my horse for me, and I would visualize. I spent so much time during the day visualizing, because I was like, man, I can't get on my horse. Like, I got to figure out something to do. So I would visualize, and I'd visualize myself making these perfect, perfect runs. And my horse would keep my sister would keep my horse up and going for me. And first race back after my accident, I really didn't get to ride a whole lot. But I just was like, man, my horse is ready. I'm going to hop on. I'm going to go. And so I went on and made a really perfect run. I pulled a check, and that was all because I visualized. I wasn't able to really get on my horse and work all the time. So that was just because I visualized. So that was really cool. And I was like, oh dang, this stuff really actually works. Like, I better implement it. So that was super cool. It's a little cool tip for you guys. So tip number 11 is bits. Now, something that I kind of have a problem with is bits do not solve everything. So a lot of times I see people and they're like, oh, well, I think I just need a new bit. And I'm like, no, you really don't. So if you're riding in a bit, now I'll tell you, kind of like, my favorite bits are more of the junior cow horse bits. I like something that breaks three times, just because of the fact that it's a little bit softer in a horse's mouth. Really, for anyone, that's kind of like what I recommend, because depending on if you have hard or soft hands, that's something that just works easy. For me, I hardly ever touch my horse's mouth. Like, I maybe have to like get after him just a couple times during a ride, and that's when the bit actually comes in contact with them. But other than that, I'm riding with my body, I'm riding with my seat. I mean, I'm really just out of their face, and I'm not riding with my hands hardly at all. So the bit really never comes in contact. It's just kind of there. So it's important to recognize that if you are looking at your riding and you're like, man, I'm just having problems, a lot of times it's your body positioning. So that kind of goes into our next tip, but riding with your body and be out of your horse's face. Now, if you can ride like that, the bit that you have in right now is most likely not going to have to be changed. Definitely, there's a few times where a bit just doesn't work for a horse and you have to change it. But for the most part, if you ride with your body and you're out of your horse's face, meaning you are not pulling on your horse's face all the time when you're riding, and it doesn't look like a tug of war, you don't necessarily need to change that bit. So keep the same bit. If you're needing to change the bit, I would change to something with a three-piece. I really like the junior cow horse, as well as, you know, different other bits. But anyways, so if you can do that and ride with your body and be out of your horse's face, a lot of times you're not actually going to need to change that bit. It's really just you need to change your body positioning. So realize that. It's super, super important with that aspect of it. So just ride with your body, ride with your hand, or not ride with your hands, sorry, rephrase it. It's really early in the morning, so sorry, I'm trying to get this podcast up. I'm like, anyways, ride with your body, ride with your seat, ride with your shoulders, ride with your head, be looking where you need to go, ride with your legs. It's so, so important. Be riding like that and be out of your horse's face, and you're gonna set yourself up for success. So tip number 11 is don't ride on the grass. Now, I see a lot of people sending me runs of you running your horses on the grass, but realize that running your horse on the grass, running brails on the grass, is very, very dangerous. You only see beginners doing this because no one's taught them yet, and it's completely fine because now you guys know. But It's so important that you do not run your horse on the grass, because if your horse was ever to trip, the grass has a different consistency than dirt, so there's really no grab to it. So if your horse was ever to trip and fall, they honestly would break their leg and you would have to put them down. That's kind of just the truth of it, and it's really, really dangerous situation. So just stay off the grass. Yes, I understand that Pendleton is on the grass, but you're running in a straight line and around the barrel there's dirt. So be very, very careful doing that. Make sure that you're just trying not to do that as much as possible, because it's super, super dangerous. So tip number 13 is get a really nice deep seated barrel saddle. So this one is actually super helpful if you guys implement this. So a really deep seated barrel saddle is actually going to really help you in a run, because it kind of takes that sense away of you feeling like you're going to fall out of the saddle. Because obviously you get on barrel horses, and if you're still learning and you're still trying to figure out your balance, it's going to be a ton easier if you have a deep seated barrel saddle, because it'll keep you in a ton better. So that's something really easy to do and learn with. So okay, I feel like I'm mixing this up, so I'm sorry if I'm saying this. I'm pretty sure we're at tip number 15 now, and I definitely have been jumping around. So, sorry. Tip number 15 is shoes. Now, this is a really common misconception, but every horse doesn't need to be shoed. None of my horses are shoed. I never shoe them. And yes, I travel to rodeos all the time, and I just don't shoe them. I have Easy Cloud boots if I need them, but I don't shoe my horses, because horses a lot of times get shoed wrong and they keep the shoes on for too long, and it causes a lot of problems. Shoes are not really meant to stay on a horse that long, because they hold the horse's foot in a mold. So if you think about it, if you have your hand in a cast all the time and then you take the cast off, your hand or your arm is very, very limp, and like it has no muscle in it. And so that's the same thing that happens when you shoe a horse's foot, is it keeps it in that cast. And so when you take it off, the horse's foot is just kind of limp and it's not as strong. And so I don't like to shoe my horses, because they don't necessarily need it. Definitely some people are like, oh, whatever, my horse actually needs to be shoed. But in reality, there's plenty of ways to work around it where you don't actually need to be shoed. So I don't ever shoe my horses. I'm super against it, honestly, with the whole thing of, you know, you watch wild Mustangs run across the crazy terrain that they do, and they don't have shoes on. So it really comes down to having a really awesome barefoot trimmer, because you really don't need shoes on. There's plenty of ways to work around it. There's plenty of problems that come up if you shoe your horse. So just kind of be aware of that with that fact. So I have plenty of more tips on my social media at Barrel Racing Training Help, whether that's on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Facebook group. Again, that's at Barrel Racing Training Help. You guys are welcome to go follow me there, comment there. I always answer messages, so you guys are welcome to shoot me messages, and I'm able to help you guys in that direction. So I look forward to getting to hear with you guys on social media this week, or whether you're back here next week on the podcast. So thank you guys for listening, and I will see you guys next week.